Romans 12, 1 and 2. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, because of the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and complete will of God. Now, most everybody agrees that there is a transition here, that in the first 11 chapters, Paul's aim is to convince, persuade, that justification is by faith alone. Now he turns to the response. If you believe that, how do you live? So it's well said that the first 11 chapters are doctrine, 12 through 16 is practical, but we need to be careful because there is a great deal of significant doctrine even in the practical aspects. But we can say that chapter 12, 1 and 2 is the response of the justified believer to God. You believe you're justified by faith? Now then, he'll say, this is how it's to work out in life. And he begins with an initial appeal of give your body to God. And that appeal begins with urgency. He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, I pray you. This has to get our attention. You can't just read this casually. Here is the Apostle Paul, inspired by God himself, under the authority of the Holy Spirit to write this to us. Pay attention to this. This is urgent. If you are a believer, this is a matter of full attention, wholehearted devotion. Now, the basis of this appeal is, he calls, the mercy of God, or sometimes translated, the compassion of God. Because of God's great mercy, because of God's compassion and grace to save us and justify us, there is the mercy of justification. There is the mercy of sanctification. And because of this, then we follow through with the nature of this appeal. Present your bodies to God. It's a deliberate offering. It is a living sacrifice. We are alive. This is to get our attention now, this morning. A deliberate, determined act on our part. We are to do this. It's a sacred act. It's a sacrifice of our life to be given to God, and we are to do this. Now, the substance of this sacrifice, he calls your body. Present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. It's an interesting thing about things on earth. They can be used for good or evil, and that's true of the body. It can be an instrument of great glory to God. It can become an instrument of evil. And because we are prone to weakness, and because sin has not been eradicated, we have a problem with the body. The body can become a source of evil. That's why Paul is so concerned that we give this body to God. The body is filled with appetites, desires that can become immoral and rotten. These cravings and demands of the body lead us to sin away from God, can be very troublesome. The body can be very troublesome. It can smell bad. The other day I was in the market, not Hughes, a different market, and there was a man in line next to me that reeked so bad with odor, I moved to another line. I mean, this was unbelievable. He smelled really bad. The body can snore. It can drool. It can decay. It's a problem, isn't it? So give it to God. And Paul is not saying you don't have to get better. You don't have to be perfect. Present your body to God, a living sacrifice, and give it to Him. And don't let it become an idol where it gets all of our attention and it gets more attention than God Himself. Now he says this appeal to present your body is the only reasonable, rational response to what God has done for us. If you believe you are justified by faith through what Christ has done, the only reasonable way to live is to do what Paul is calling for here, to do it. Now, it's an act in itself. And one way to approach this is just to get alone before God and get down on your knees and go through the members of your body and present the members of your body to God. Give them to Him. Your eyes. Your tongue. Your hands, your feet, given to God. The body houses the mind. And so when Paul says, give your bodies, it's your entire being. It includes your thought life and every part of our body to be given to Him. If you have never done this, I want to join with Paul today for myself and for all of us here, that we do not let this day go by, but that as a sacred act before our God, we present our life to Him, given to Him for Him to control the thought life. The will is housed by the body, and what we determine comes out of our mind and given to Him means a change in our behavior. If I'm invited to go to a certain place that is wrong for me, I say, I can't go there. My feet have been given to God. I can't look at that, because these eyes belong to God. I mustn't say that because this tongue is presented to Him. And so it goes on, a helpful reminder to follow God's word in our conduct. Now, it'll be one thing to do this as a deliberate act, but it is a continuing action. Because what we did today will not be sufficient for tomorrow, because new temptations come. So this becomes a deliberate act, plus a continuing attitude and concept that we belong to God. And Paul spells it out a little bit by saying, do not be conformed to this world. Present your life, your body to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, and do not be conformed to this world. Now, what does he mean by the world? Not the earth, not the rivers, the lakes, the stream, but society. This godless, depraved, secular, humanistic society. Do not conform to it. We are not obligated to follow every style and fad and fashion, every bit of music or movies that the world gets into. You don't have to do it. Do not be conformed to it. And so this is a thing that happens if our bodies presented to God, we're well down the road not to be conformed to the world. We don't need to do that. What then is the Christian's attitude to the society in which we live? Well, the Bible doesn't call for isolation. Now, the monks of the Middle Ages and some people still say, let's retreat from society and get our own Christian communal thing going and we'll get away from the world. Doesn't work. Does not work. It's not called for biblically. And why it doesn't work is because if I retreat and go to this secluded place, I take myself, my sin. It goes with me. I can't get away from it by trying to retreat. So isolation is not the thing. Neither is it identification. I'll try to be friends with the world and I'll be buddy-buddy with this immoral, rotten person who calls me to be with him. No, you don't do that. You don't identify with the world by trying to be like them. So what is it? It is not isolation. It is not identification. It is penetration. We are salt and we are light. And as we live in this society, we are to be salt is a preservative against evil, rottenness, and that's our role. We are to be light in that light walks into the darkness and gives light. So that is our life. And Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of people. How do you do that? We can't geographically go into all the world. What that means is that we go into the world around us. We go into the world of the trades. A carpenter, a farmer, or whatever, you go into that world as salt and light. If you're an athlete, you go into that world as salt and light. If you're a teacher, you go into that world as salt and light, and you penetrate the darkness of society. If you're a professional person, you go into that world. If you're in business, you go into the business world. And that's the way we live. So, do not be conformed to the world, but do something about it. And what is the pattern of the world, really? Do not be conformed to the world. The world can be described as selfish. Sin makes us selfish. And the attitude of the world is, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? How do I benefit? That ruins relationships. That destroys marriages. It destroys churches. And we are not to live that way. Do not be conformed to this world. The world grabs and cheats and lies. and as immoral, living for self. Do not be conformed to selfishness. Now Paul follows up to say, renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind, and so on. Now, how do you renew your mind? What's happening to us as believers? Well, we have a change of thought life, a whole new direction. We are new creation. We do not live like the people around us. We are renewed in that we have biblical thought. We follow the teaching of the Scripture. We have the mind of Christ. We can look at life from God's view, and we don't get wallowed up in the present, but we can look at the eternal. The best way to handle present problems is to look at the eternal and know how temporary this is and how wonderful it is. Now you say, Bill, what's the practical way to renew your mind? With the Bible? Not turning to your own authority, your own reasoning? Not turning to the reasoning of other people, but get God's teaching? Bible? Constantly? Continually? Daily? As I have lived and watched Christians through the years and seen some seem to be with it wholeheartedly and others are a drag, what makes the difference? I think it's a fair observation to say the difference is made by people who get into the Scripture personally. It is not enough to listen to sermons. It is not enough to go to Bible studies. It requires personal participation with God in His Word, in communion, learning from Him. As you today present your bodies to God, ask God to help you with personal Bible reading, study, memorizing. There is the fellowship of believers. We renew our thinking by being together with people who think scripturally, who think spiritually, who think eternally. And we are to seek that. And we can't just say, Lord, I'm sitting here now, dump a whole bunch of Christians around me. No, you look for them. You find people to be with who are wholesome and healthy and who can help you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So something happens as we're with the Lord in the Scripture. We're being renewed and we're being transformed. And the word that is translated transformed is the word for metamorphosis. I think that's the correct biological term, isn't it? Metamorphosis, as the caterpillar spins a cocoon and comes out a butterfly, that is a change. And we are transformed that way. God brings a change from death to life, from darkness to light. And that's going on in our life. And so Paul has a good word for us in response to justification by faith. I beseech you. I beg of you. I plead with you. It's as if he's saying, I would do anything I could for this to be a part of your life. But only you can do this. Now, God enables, but He cannot give your body to Himself. Paul can't do it for us. It's something we do, in response to God, which means that our life becomes useful, it's not wasted, and it's given to Him, and He will use it. I beseech you, brethren, out of the mercy of God, to give your bodies to Him, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed and live for His glory. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word, this direction, which gives us a purpose in life, and which will please you, and to know that we are in that full and complete will of God. Help us today to respond with determination that this shall be true in our life. And let it all be for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.